Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. The death toll after last week's devastating floods in Central Texas has just risen to 129, including children. Local resident Marcy Heap.
As a mother who's lost a child, I know the nightmare that these people are living, that these parents are going through. I wouldn't wish that on the devil himself. That is the most unfair thing a parent will ever go through in their life.
More than 160 are missing. CBS's Karen Hua on the steps being taken to prevent similar tragedies.
State leaders tell us they're committed to looking into warning sirens. And Governor Abbott says the state will be prepared when the next disaster hits.
President Trump announces a new round of tariffs starting August 1st. CBS's Willie James Inman.
On Saturday, President Trump announced a 30% tariff on imports from Mexico and the European Union. Mr. Trump accused Mexico of not doing enough to stop cartels in a letter to the nation's president. In a notice to the European Commission, President Trump said the trade relationship with the EU zone was far from balanced, blasting trade deficits. Willie James Inman, CBS News, Bridgewater, New Jersey.
Reports from the occupied West Bank say a U.S. Palestinian man has been killed by Israeli settlers.
We've had a statement from his family. He was a 20-year-old man named Saifullah Masallat. He was visiting family in the occupied West Bank. He had arrived there just last month, and they said he was protecting the family's lands from settlers when settlers arrived and beat him to death and prevented ambulances from reaching the body for 3 hours.
And the BBC's Amir Nader says the man's family wants the U.S. State Department to investigate. Results of an investigation into a deadly Air India crash last month show fuel was cut to the engines. Former NTSB Chair Robert Sumwalt.
This is a preliminary report put out by the Indian government. There's a lot of runway ahead of the investigation. The investigators will continue to try and understand why these fuel switches were shut off just 3 seconds after liftoff.
All but one of the 242 people on board died. The U.S. is seeing its worst measles outbreak since the disease was declared eliminated here 25 years ago. CBS's Michael George.
According to the CDC, there have been more than 1,200 confirmed measles cases in the U.S. so far this year. A majority of them are linked to a large outbreak that originated in West Texas. 2025 has already surpassed the last record from 2019. Measles is preventable with a vaccine.
ER visits for tick bites this year are at their highest level since 2019. That is also according to the CDC. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
The Brewers host the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers face the Nationals in game two of their three-game series. Brandon Woodruff gets the start. Last night, the Brewers won the opener 8-3. At his press conference after the game, manager Pat Murphy had this to say.
Good. Hey, I got another announcement, guys, before you get up. Jacob Mizorowski will pitch in the All-Star game.
Mizorowski says Murphy told him the news about 5 minutes before the start of the National Anthem.
Got called to the Mets office and sitting in there, and he said, hey, close the door, come on. Get in here, and yeah, basically broke it to me, and I had to sit there the whole game and not tell anyone.
Mizorowski joins Trevor McGill, representing the team at the All-Star game Tuesday night, teammate Quinn Priester.
That's awesome. No, I was fired up. I was really fired up for him. It's electric to watch. I'm excited for those guys who get to see it from a dugout view like I've been able to, and he's going to represent us really well.
That's Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a little hazy from smoke, and a low in the upper 50s. Filtered sunshine for tomorrow and warmer, a high in the low 80s. Slight rain chance Sunday night. Stays warm through mid next week, highs in the 80s. Right now it's 80.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matt and Air. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
You can also call or text us from the free Civic Media app, as well as leave a voice note.
Yep, that's a new feature on our app.
So many ways to get in touch with us. Even if you don't like us, you can leave a voice note and let us know we live rent-free in your head.
If that's good, if that makes you feel good, absolutely. We are all about positivity. We're all about positivity here on Matt and Air on Air. Another good reason to have the Civic Media app.
Oh, why?
Today is Free Ticket Friday.
We're at Friday already.
We are at Friday. Free Ticket Friday coming up in just a little bit. We will give you the keyword for our show, and you will have until 11 o'clock to text in this keyword via the Civic Media app in order to pick up a 4-pack of tickets to see our winning Milwaukee Brewers. The game is this Sunday. They're hosting the Nationals.
Yeah, we are hosting the Nationals. It is this Sunday. Wait, oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was looking at the wrong thing there. Yeah, it's going to be this is going to be a great weekend. The Brewers are doing fantastic. We were talking about it yesterday. They are now officially 2 games out of first place, but that's really come a long way in just even the past month, and you guys are going to have a great time. If you win tickets and you go to the game, we want you to take some pictures and text us through the Civic Media.
We'd love to see them.
Yeah, we'd love to see the fun you're having.
See, having a good time.
And those comfy, comfy club levels.
They're cushy.
Cushy. There's cushy private seats. Bathrooms and carpeting.
It's fabulous. So we will have that keyword for you coming up in just a little bit. And then again, you have until 11 o'clock, and this is going on all day. So your next chance with a different keyword will be coming up with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Albaugh 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. Free Ticket Fridays is underway today on Civic Media. Wanted to give folks a reminder that the funeral services for Milwaukee Police Officer Kendall Corder, will be happening today. There's visitation. He was killed in the line of duty. Officer Corder's funeral visitation begins at 11 o'clock this morning at Elmbrook Church, and then the internment will be at Wisconsin Memorial Park. The funeral service will begin today at 2:30, and then again, Officer Corder will be interred at Wisconsin Memorial Park. Wanted to let you know about that, and our thoughts go out to his family and everyone in law enforcement.
Absolutely.
Lots of things going on.
Yes, indeed.
Dan Schaefer is going to be here after 9:30, so we're going to have an extra half an hour of recombobulating.
There's so much recombobulate. There's always so much news, so he's doing double duty today.
He is.
Yeah.
So Dan will be here about 9:30. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Blueberry Hill edition. Stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off with talking about this from News 8000, News 8 Now, Noah Hodges with the byline. Protesters gather outside Congressman Derek Van Orden's office over Trump's spending bill. This happened yesterday. La Crosse residents, that is Derek Van Orden's district, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to be there. La Crosse residents demonstrated outside of Congressman Derek Van Orden's office yesterday, voicing their opposition to the Trump spending bill and challenging Van Orden's claims about health care funding. Demonstrators say Van Orden misled constituents about what the bill is going to do to Badger Care, Medicaid. They say Van Orden's assertion that the legislature is going to secure billions for Badger Care was false and warned that proposed Medicare cuts will harm thousands of Wisconsin residents. And there have been expert after expert after expert, people who are experts on nursing homes, people who are experts on economics. I mean, all kinds of experts have all kind of weighed in and said the same thing that the administration doesn't want us to hear.
Yes.
Essentially that this is going to, yes, have major, major impacts on people in the Medicare system. It just is.
Medicare, Medicaid, and what's that one? SNAP.
SNAP,
The one, and I'm going to, until he's out of office or he changes his mind and or apologizes for his vote, let us never forget the fact that he said on record in a room into a microphone with to an expert's face.
Melting down.
With a good old fashioned Derek Van Orden yelling fit that SNAP would not go down one nickel, quote, one nickel, he said. And he said that from the point of view of a man who at one point as a child had those benefits back when it was called things like government cheese and food stamps, things like that.
Right.
But he was a poor kid and he made it very clear that SNAP would not go down. Well, he is wrong. And was he misled? I don't know. Is he lying? Yes, he is.
Well, and I think it's important that folks realize too, and I don't know that we've mentioned this enough, but the cuts and the changes to Medicaid and SNAP aren't going to happen until after 2027.
2027?
Yeah.
Or 2027?
No, they're going to go let the midterms happen.
Yes, yeah.
The midterms will happen next November.
So,
and then the cuts kick in 2027. So they're kind of playing it like if the Republicans are ousted in power at that time, then when all this pain starts under a Democratic administration, they go, yeah, it's his fault.
Yeah, I mean,
it's his fault.
I mean, when the stock market crashed a couple months ago, it was Biden's fault. Every time something bad happens, it's Biden's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's always about pointing fingers, placing blame. It's never their responsibility. Well, your name is on a yes vote, Derek Van Orden. The people made their opinions very clear about you yesterday. And we've been making our opinions very clear about it for a while. And if you look at his Twitter, it's full of nothing but denial and just...
And insults.
The insults of a man who clearly does not know how to exist in polite society. He is a bully. He is a traitor. He is a liar, and he deserves everything he gets when it comes to political, whether he's voted out of office or people protesting in his house. He made this assertion, SNAP wouldn't go down a nickel, and he was a liar because he voted for it. He voted for it three times. He voted for the budget blueprint. He voted for the original budget, and then when it came back from the Senate, he voted for it again. So everything he gets, he's due because he lied to the people.
Van Orden responding to the demonstrators. And again, this article does not say if he was there.
I looked for something on Twitter and I didn't.
Pretty sure he wasn't there. DVO says the Democrats just don't want to admit that Republicans saved Badger Care. The one big, beautiful bill allowed Wisconsin to have a 6% provider tax rate, giving $1 billion additional dollars to Badger Care. There's also a $500 million plus up for rural health care. I find it curious, then, if this is all so wonderful, Darren, why didn't you make any appearances in your district to explain all the benefits of this bill to the people who voted for you?
And why is there a record of you calling Governor Evers telling him that they have to save rural hospitals? If all of this is in the budget bill, then what are we even worried about? I mean, I'm dead serious. I agree, Jane. If there was something like, if there were these plans that were going to save access to healthcare in the state, especially in our rural Western areas.
People would be celebrating.
People would be celebrating. You should be out there talking to people, getting do a town hall. Just, or, there's ways of doing this. But now you're saying this?
Well, yeah.
What makes, I don't know. He's a liar, so I think he might be lying.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you would like to join the conversation, Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Hurrah for you guys. I have never seen such a liar in my life, in my district. And I'll tell you another thing, if he don't think he's lying, then he's psychotic, and he needs to get the heck out of that position, because he takes right after our president. He was advertising this beautiful bill. I don't remember the name of the people that were paying big bucks to put it on our television and on the internet about how wonderful this bill was and how it wasn't going to hurt us and all the great things it was going to do. People need to wake up on this one, because this guy never should be in an office in the United States of America representing the people making these important decisions, as should never be Donald J. Trump. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. And you guys have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Gene. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. I want to know more about this 6% provider tax rate and the $1 billion to additional to Medic. Last time I checked, Jane, Robin Voss doesn't take money from the government for Badger Care. We've been denying it since Obamacare. We've been denying it for expanding Medicaid for new moms. So if there is $1 billion, okay, show it to me, and then show me the version of Robin Voss that says, yeah, well, we'll take it.
It's interesting, too, and I think what is really starting to turn the tide among some as far as how they look at this administration is this whole Jeff Epstein thing.
Yeah.
The Jeffrey Epstein and all Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino and all those guys spent a couple of years promising their base that the Epstein client list was going to be released. And of course, no one was going to be on that list except for the Clintons and other Democrats and apparently Tom Hanks and other journalists that they don't like. So they have been promising them and building them up to this point that this is the thing that's going to indict everybody. We're going to have indictments. We're going to put them, send them in jail, and we get to watch them get perp walked. And now there's no list. Poof. Just doesn't exist.
There was never a list.
You remember the list we told you about? Remember the list that we handed to all those podcasters right before they walked out the door of the White House and that they held up in front of the media you didn't see that.
No.
And those binders were empty anyway.
Jane, it was what all happened there is what experts called a lie, because they're liars. They're nothing but liars.
Yeah. This is not sitting well.
No.
This whole Epstein and the non-existent Epstein files, now that people had been promised for a couple of years, they're not happy about this.
No.
And I caught this clip from a podcaster. I think, Galvin, we have time to play this clip, don't we? And then we'll continue on the other side. Let's play this clip from
Andrew Schultz.
Andrew Schultz. I was going to call him something else. But yes, let's play that clip, please, Galvin.
People that like, they'll DM me and be like, you see what your boy's doing? You voted for this. I'm like, I voted for none of this. He's doing the exact opposite of everything I voted for. Yeah. I want him to stop the wars. He's funding them. I want him to shrink spending, reduce the budget. He's increasing it. It's like everything that he said he's going to do, except sending immigrants back.
Hmm. They seem to be kind of implying that Trump lied.
Well, also, I mean, I'm a comedian. I'm a stand-up comedian, and he's a stand-up comedian. And one thing I can tell you that most of us aren't smart, and he is very unsmart because he doesn't know how elections work. You don't get to cherry pick what you vote for with a candidate. It is a zero-sum game. You vote for the person, you get the policies.
All of the policies.
The policies in which he said he was going to do.
Since we're talking about fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
When we return, Russ Vogt has some really detailed explanation about why it's a good thing for us to redo the Rose Garden again at taxpayer expense. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by History Auto, Econ Electric Inc.,
Party Envy,
Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspyrus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. This is Raptors Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. It's time for the pregame show as we get ready to roll here from Winter Field. The Rafters taking on the Wausau Woodchucks in the first of a two-game series. And, well, the Rafters looking to snap a losing streak right now. And, well, it didn't go their way yesterday, losing both legs of the doubleheader. The second game, though, a rain-shortened game where the Rafters didn't have the full possibility to make the comeback, although it was a complete length. It did go 5.5 innings before the Rafters ended up dropping it 7-1. Earlier in the game, it finished a 12-8 loss where they lost game one, in which was previously suspended from the night prior. So that game went a full 9 innings. The next game went about half the length and also took about half the time. It was a season short game, the second game, and a season-long game, the previous one. 3 hours and 41 minutes, it's the longest home game of the season, and the second game, the shortest game of the season at home, an hour and 52 minutes. So it was really a pretty fun one to get to watch, but the Rafters unfortunately unable to get things rolling. Junior Barajas, though, had himself a game. He hit 2 home runs in the first game, while Jake Beauchesne also stayed hot, but Barajas is going to be who the guy that we're talking to for the pregame show, and that comes up in 1 second. But before that, Jeremy Jones and Amar Tsengeg are the two pitchers. Jones on the mound for the Rafters. He's looking to continue a season-high 6-inning performance that he had last game out. It's just one of 2 times the Rafters have had a 6-inning performance. That was followed up by Tristan Krusenberry, who had a quality start his last time out. So Jones hoping to continue up that momentum. He's retired the last 10 consecutive batters he's faced and trying to keep that rolling today against the Woodchucks. So, as I mentioned prior, it's going to be Junior Barajas joining us for the pregame interview. That comes up in just a moment. Rafters taking on the Woodchucks. Starting lineups and starting pitcher breakdown will follow. That all comes up next. This is the Rafters pregame show on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a 3-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbro, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's why we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hello and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me once again for the pregame interview, it's Junior Barajas. And Junior, man, what a start to the year. It's been very explosive, to say the least, and you've been putting up rockets left, right, and center. I mean, it's been a lot of fun to watch from up in the press box, but, you know, just, you know, thoughts from you on the second half of the season so far and how you've been feeling at the plate.
It's been great. I mean, to get out here has been a blast, and for me, I've been seeing the ball well, and it's shown that, and it's just been a good time. I'm enjoying it out here.
Well, first multi-home run game of the year for you and for the Rafters, actually, and that came just yesterday in the first half of the doubleheader. How did that feel, especially the second one, knowing that, hey, I just hit another one?
It was pretty cool. Honestly, I didn't know that the second one was going to go out. I hit it the other way, and it just kept going, which was really cool. And to get that kind of gave us back in the game a little bit. Obviously, came up a little bit short, but it was cool.
You know, I was talking with Royce Clayton Jr. a little bit earlier in the season, and one of the things that he was telling me is, you know, hey, he likes to hit it kind of central up the field, up the middle of the infield. For you, though, it feels like it's been a lot more pull, and that's allowed you to get five of those home runs of the six that you have over the right field wall. Is that something about your swing that you've had, you know, your whole life, or is that something that you've developed more recently to give you the pop to get it over?
Yeah, I've always naturally been a pull hitter, but definitely, like, the pop part, that came a lot from me earlier this summer, getting to work out with my dad and getting a lot bigger and more physical, and that's helped me to get the ball over the fence a little bit easier. So by hitting the ball to right field, I'm able to backspin it really well, and it ended up going a little bit further than most, so it helps a ton.
So was it a focus for you to hit for more power this season, or is it just something that naturally you were saying, hey, want to develop that part of my game along with the other parts?
Yeah, I've kind of always wanted to develop the power part of my game. Like, I'm a big left-handed hitting catcher, so hitting for power would definitely be a big aspect for me. So being able to do that more this summer has definitely helped me a ton, and it's going to be important for my game in the future.
Well, of course, you've committed to UC Irvine and looking forward to that in the spring season. And getting into the Northwoods League, you've got to face a lot of pitchers who have gone Division One, who have already got that experience. What have you seen from some of the pitchers that have more experience and that you're looking at and trying to be ready for in the Division One level?
It's a lot more off-speed pitches. It's a lot of better quality off-speed pitches. Where at the junior college level, you're getting a lot of fastballs and off-speed pitches that aren't necessarily going to blow you away with stuff. So coming out here, you face guys, like, I know we faced a couple guys from Oklahoma State the other night, and they have a lot better secondary stuff. So that stuff is really what I've been kind of looking to be able to either take or take good swings on. So that's the biggest jump from junior college baseball in California to Northwoods League so far, and I think that'll be a big impact for me at UC Irvine next year.
Well, you talk about, you know, trying to prepare for those kind of pitches. Is that something that you've been talking with the coaches about and trying to see in BP if they could throw you something different, or how have you been trying to work to improve that part of your game?
Honestly, I think it's kind of just like a mental aspect where I know when I hit a fastball early in the game pretty hard or something like that, I know I'm not going to get another one for a while. So it's kind of a mental thing of, okay, now I got to be ready for something slow almost and be able to stay back on it and work maybe the other way with it so that if I do catch it out in front, it'll go to the right field with some power. So,
well, kind of switching gears here and talking a little bit more about the team. Obviously, right now isn't the best of streaks for the squad wins-wise, but it feels like you've been getting along well with the guys. You know, I see you joking around a lot with all the guys out there. It seems like you're having a good time. Yeah. How's it felt for you kind of just meshing with everyone on the squad?
It's been awesome. We truly have a great group of guys out here, and everyone gets together really well. And it's cool, especially to have some guys that I've known before I played with. We have three guys from my junior college, and obviously I'm going to school with Landon Gaz next year, so it's been great. I mean, some familiar faces, some new ones that are awesome guys. I mean, it's been a blast here.
And then I guess just one final question for you, you know, and I do have to ask it, but you've been playing well, but the team has been struggling. How do you think that's going to turn around for them to finally start getting some wins here in the second half?
It's just kind of putting it all together. I feel like there's been some games where we've hit really well and the pitching hasn't been there, and there's some games where you pitch really well and vice versa, the hitting hasn't been there. And that's something where if we just keep working and we put the pieces together at the same night, we'll end up winning ball games. And I think that once we do that, it'll just get on a roll and we'll keep winning some games.
All right, well, hopefully we can start seeing that tonight. Appreciate your time. Anything else you want to add?
Nothing. Go Rafters.
All right. Well, once again, thank you so much for your time. That was Junior Barajas here on the Rafters pregame show. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, it's time for starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
Econ Electric, Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric, Inc. now.
You're cruising along Highway 54, you're jamming out to your favorite song, you slow down for a red light when out your passenger window another car revs their engine wanting you to race. Now, at first you're like, no, I can't. But before you finish your thought, the light changes green, your foot slams the gas, your adrenaline is surging until your check engine light goes on and reality strikes. Have fun again in your vehicle. Work with the team at Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party NV Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryant experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, the national anthem done, and we are getting ready to roll along for Rafters Baseball. Thanks for joining us tonight here on WFHR as we get ready to go from Winter Field, the home of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, and looking to get back on the right track. They are going to need a big performance here on Renew Your Vows night in Wisconsin Rapids. The Rafters turning to Jeremy Jones on the mound for the Rafters, and Jones, a guy who comes into this one having retired the last 10 consecutive batters that he's faced, and well, it still wasn't his best game, allowed 5 earned runs over 6 innings pitched, but it was a season-long performance from him. At the very least, he was efficient. In his previous couple of games, though, he had been absolutely dominant, and that works out to a 3.43 ERA through his previous 5 starts on the season. So looking to keep his momentum rolling along here into game number 6 for him. And on the season for the Rafters, it's game number 49. Game number 50 comes up tomorrow afternoon. It's the last game before the All-Star break. And then the Rafters will have 22 games to finish off the season and hope to kind of turn things around and get some momentum rolling along as they hope to work out of this last place spot right now. Taking a look at the other starter, it's Amar Tsengen for the Woodchucks, and Tsengen, a former Fond du Lac Dock Spider. He pitched there for 2 seasons. His first year in the Northwoods League, he had a 4.64 ERA over 64 innings. The second season, though, not quite his best. That was last year, going with a 6.34. This year, he's kind of halfway between there, a 5.82 ERA over 17 innings. This is his 5th start of the year, and his last start, oh man, it was a good one. At Green Bay, he went 5 innings, allowing just 1 run against the Rockers. He got the win in that game, and looking to continue that here at Witter Field. Taking a look at the starting lineups for the Wausau Woodchucks, Noah Malone leads off in right field. Dylan Schlotterbeck bats second. He's at third base. Batting third is Max Galvin in left field. Cleanup is Max Solis Jr. at catcher. Fifth is Dom Rodriguez, the first baseman. Sixth is Josh Arquette, the DH. Seventh is Cade Baldridge, the second baseman. Eighth is Jake Berkland, the shortstop. And ninth is Christian Smith-Johnson, the center fielder. Getting ready to roll along, and Jeremy Jones out there on the mound. Right-handed pitcher against the right-handed hitting Noah Malone. First pitch on the way at 6:35. It misses low for ball number one. Well, it's a beautiful day here in Wisconsin Rapids. The air quality a little low here as some of the smoke from the fires have come here over Wisconsin Rapids, and the 1-0 count is in there for a strike, 1-1 the count. However, it's 76 degrees and mostly sunny outside. I mean, that's perfect temperature for a baseball game, as this one is fouled away by Malone to make it a 1-2 count. 10-mile-an-hour winds, though. It is blowing from right to left field out there, as might make it a little more favorable for right-handed hitters. Noah Malone, one of the four All-Stars for the Wausau Woodchucks this season, and looking forward to that in just a couple of days. 1-2 the count, and it misses high for ball number two. Now, the Rafters had Noah Ruiz selected to the All-Star game, but not only that, he'll also be competing in the Home Run Derby. Man, I love home run derbies. I'm excited to see Ruiz compete. 2-2 the count, misses high and goes over the back of Noah Malone as he ducked down out of the way to make it 3-2. So a full count here as Jones looks to retire the leadoff man. Malone from Loyola Marymount University, a teammate of Luke Skinner's. Skinner on the Rafters here, and a third baseman who he is starting as this one is grounded over towards short. Carlson is there, picks it up, throws to first, and got it in time for out number one. 6-3 on the putout, and it brings up Dylan Schlotterbeck with one away and the bases empty in the top of the first, still tied at zero. So Dylan Schlotterbeck following up Noah Malone's ground out, and Schlotterbeck, the right-handed hitting third baseman. It's a righty-righty matchup with Jeremy Jones on the mound. Malone stepping into the batter's box. He's got the right foot all the way on that back white paint. First pitch on the way is in there on the lower inside corner for strike number one. 0-1 the count. And the Woodchucks wearing their navy blue jerseys with the white lettering outlined in a light green. 0-1 the count, and a fastball misses away to make it 1-1. The Rafters wearing their home white jerseys. They've got the white shirts and white pants, black sleeves on the shirt with a cranberry red stripe. 1-1 the count is taken low for ball number two. Now 2-1 to Schlotterbeck. And Schlotterbeck, not an All-Star, but man, it feels like he should have been. Batting 301 entering this game. He's got 37 RBIs on the year. 2-1 the count. This one misses way outside. Looked like it slipped out of the hand of Jones there. So now a 3-1 count, and the Rafters hoping to stop what currently stands as a 9-game skid. They have lost 10 games in a row, just one time in franchise history, and really hoping to avoid that in this game, but Jones missing that pitch low and away. It's ball number four, so Schlotterbeck over to first base. It's a one-out walk. Brings up Max Galvin to the plate with one on and one out in the top of the first. Still tied at zero, and Max Galvin, oh man, there are some bad memories there for Rafters fans. The left-handed hitting left fielder taking on the righty on the mound. First pitch on the way, it's fouled back to make it 0-1. Galvin from the University of Miami, Florida. Batting 333, he's got five home runs, a couple of those against the Rafters. He's been incredible in his 16 games played and sends one over to shortstop. Could be two. Carlson is there. No, he can't pick it up. Stays on the ground. Nearly had it, but it dropped out of the glove, and both runners are safe. Oh, man. That's a tough one. Could have worked out of it, but instead, there are now runners on first and second. Tough one there, and now Dylan Schlotterbeck over on second base. Max Galvin on first. And with one away, Max Solis stepping into the batter's box. First pitch on the way to him is called for a strike. Now an 0-1 count. Officially goes in as an E6 that let Galvin reach. 0-1 the count from Jones, and this one's hit up the middle and sneaks on through into center field. Clayton running up on it, rounding third is the runner. No throw will come, and it's an RBI single for Max Solis Jr. It's 1-0 Woodchucks in the top of the first inning, and Jeremy Jones not able to keep the momentum rolling along after the error. And sending Schlatter back home from second base. That's a tough one there. Brings up Dom Rodriguez with runners on first and second and still only one out in the top of the first. A one-run Woodchucks lead. And Dom Rodriguez, another dangerous batter for this Woodchucks team. He takes the first pitch inside and it hits off his arm. A hit-by-pitch there is now four consecutive runners that have reached for the Woodchucks. Bases are now loaded with only one out. Brings up Josh Arquette to the plate with the bases loaded and a chance to do some damage, and do some damage he did that last time out against the Rafters. He's only played in four games this season, but he's already got two home runs as this one is fouled down the third base line and in the ground. 0-1 the count. His last game that he played was against Madison, and he went 1-for-3 in that one. But his previous game to that was back against the Rafters in Wausau. He went 3-for-5 with two home runs and four RBIs. 0-1 the count, once again fouled back towards the Rafters dugout. 0-2 the count, and Arquette right-handed hitting DH. It's a righty-righty matchup, so it does work in favor of Jones. He's been slightly better as a pitcher against right-handed hitters. 0-2 the count. And he brings the pitch home. In there, called strike three, and that's a huge out for Jeremy Jones. Gets rid of Josh Arquette on just three pitches, and it brings up Cade Baldridge to the plate with two outs and the bases loaded. Still a 1-0 Wausau lead thanks to the RBI single from Max Solis Jr. And Jones trying to work out of this one without any further runs coming around. First pitch on the way home, gets a swing and a miss to Baldridge, now an 0-1 count, and that does mean that the run that came across will be unearned on Jeremy Jones' line. 0-1 the count. Cade Baldridge, left-handed hitting second baseman. It's a lefty-righty matchup, and that one called on the outside edge for strike number two. 0-2 the count. On first base, it's Dom Rodriguez. On second, Max Solis Jr., and on third, Max Galvin. Jeremy Jones looking to do max damage with the two maxes on base. 0-2 the count. Can't get called strike three. It's taken for a ball away. 1-2 the count. Jake Berkland is on deck if it gets there, but Jones hoping to take care of Baldridge. Pitch on the way. Once again, just misses outside and brings it even 2-2. Baldridge from the University of Kansas enters this game batting just .219 on the season, but does have a pair of home runs and 13 RBIs. Bases loaded here, 2-2 count is hit over to shortstop. Carlson's there. This time he picks it up and flips it to second. It's a 6-4 fielder's choice, and that gets us out of the first inning. So takes care of Dom Rodriguez over at second base, and the Rafters able to avoid too much damage there. The Woodchucks, one run on one hit. There was one error, and the Woodchucks left three on base. We head to the bottom of the first. It's 1-0 Wausau here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Raptors Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
It's now the bottom of the first inning. The Rafters down 1-0 against the Wausau Woodchucks, but not too big of a deficit as they'll look to take back into this game against Amar Tsengag. And Tsengag, the right-handed pitcher on the mound for the Woodchucks, looking to get things rolling along here and continue his momentum from his last start. Already gave you a look at Tsengag earlier in the top of the first inning, and now here to lead off the bottom of the first, it's Jake Beauchesne, who takes the first pitch outside for ball number one. Beauchesne, right-handed hitting left fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup to start off the bottom of the first. Pitch on the way from Tsengag, misses in the dirt. Now ball number two, 2-0 the count. It'll be Beauchesne, Barajas, and Akko due up for the Rafters. Barajas the catcher and Akko the designated hitter for tonight's game. 2-0 the count to Beauchesne. Tsengag fires and hits the lower part of the zone for strike number one. 2-1 the count. Odd arm angle from Tsengag on the mound. He kind of comes from down below and then brings the arm up mid-windup. He has a big leg kick as well. And the 2-1 count gets a swing and a miss to bring it 2-2. Kareem Arusevic, Royce Clayton Jr., and Hayden Carlson bat 4, 5, and 6 in the order. Batting 7-8-9, it's Eric Harper, Luke Skinner, and Hiroto Kobayashi. That's the Rafters' batting order, and the pitch on the way from Tsengag misses low for ball number three. Now a 3-2 count. And Beauchesne from Saddleback College, he's one of four guys on the Rafters that are. And one of the others, Junior Barajas, bats next, and this pitch taken low for ball number four. Beauchesne is headed to first base with a leadoff walk. Well, getting leadoff men aboard is certainly helpful for the offense, but the Rafters this season, it feels like they've really struggled to send leadoff men around to score. A lot of their runs have come from just piling on in innings. They've had big innings that have resulted in a lot of their runs. At least that's what it feels like as the first pitch to Junior Barajas misses low for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Barajas, the left-handed hitting catcher for the Rafters. It's a lefty-righty matchup with Tsengag on the mound. Runner on first and nobody out. Barajas fouls this one away to make it 1-1. And Junior was our pregame guest of the show as he came on for that interview. And great to get to talk to him. Of course, he's been one of the hottest batters in the Northwoods League to start off the second half. In 12 games for him, he's got 6 home runs. Runner taking off from first. Pitch misses outside. Throw on down is not in time. And Jake Beauchesne has another stolen base. Man, he has been lightning on the base paths for the Rafters and keeps it rolling along here. Feel like he might have watched the movie Cars a little too much. Thinks he's Lightning McQueen. 2-1 the count with the runner on second now and nobody out. Pitch on the way home. Hit to the left side of the infield. Picked up at shortstop and Beauchesne gets caught in a pickle. Now trying to outrun the throw and the throw coming back to first base, but Barajas did not round and they'll put the tag on anyways, but doesn't matter. It goes in as a fielder's choice as that one goes 6-5. An odd fielder's choice you don't always see. But Barajas now on first base, and Beauchesne out on the base paths. Brings up the right-handed hitting DH, Madden Akko, with one on and one out in the bottom of the first. Still 1-0 Woodchucks. Sengag on the mound. It's a righty-righty matchup as that pitch is fouled back into the netting to bring it 0-1. Akko looking to keep the inning rolling along for the Rafters. And Barajas, well, his on-base and hit streak ended in the rain-shortened game yesterday in game number 2. Wasn't able to get on base there, and it snapped an 11-game on-base streak to start off his season. 0-1 the count on the way home. Misses outside for ball number 1. 1-1 the count, and Barajas, well, reaching on a fielder's choice does not extend an on-base streak, so still looking to turn that around his next plate appearance, but right now it's up to Madden Akko, and he sends one down the third baseline, but foul as it eats up Rafters' third base coach and field manager, Tom Zaglowski. Ziggy. 1-2 the count to Akko, and he'll look to keep things rolling along. Akko entering this game, batted 318 through the first and early part of the second half of the season. 1-2 count, swing and a miss is strike number 3, and that takes care of Madden Akko for the second out of the bottom of the first. Brings up Kareem Arusevic with one on, and the Rafters down one. Arusevic, the left-handed hitting first baseman from UC San Diego. It's a lefty-righty matchup with Sengag on the mound. And Sengag looking to bring the pitch home. And he misses this one inside, and it gets away all the way to the backstop. Barajas off to second base. A wild pitch allows him to get into scoring position and brings the count 1-0 to Arusevic. 1-0 the count, and Arusevic off to a strong start this season for the Rafters, batting .292. Although recently been in a little bit more of a slump compared to his first game where he went 4-for-5 in his Rafters debut. Sends one out to left field, a flare, but it will go over the head of the left fielder, Galvin. Here comes Barajas on the way home, and Kareem Arusevic has an RBI double to knot it at 1 in the bottom of the first. Good piece of hitting from Kareem Arusevic. And it brings up Royce Clayton Jr. with a runner in scoring position and a chance to take the lead. Well, the Rafters, early in games, they have certainly stayed in them over the past few. Part of this losing streak, those first 4 or 5 games really didn't go their way at all, but over these last couple, they've been able to keep it close really through the first half of games. It's been the back half that has really done them the most damage. First pitch to Royce Clayton Jr. is in there for a strike. 0-1 the count. And so the Rafters really feel like they got to take the lead early. See if they can get themselves a cushion. 0-1 the count. And looking back to second, Sengag brings it home. This one's hit to the right side by Clayton and sneaks into right field. Here comes Arusevic on the way home from third. The throw is online, but not in time and not picked up behind the plate by Solis. So Clayton goes to second. It's an RBI single for Royce Clayton Jr., and he gives the Rafters the lead in the bottom of the first. It's 2-1 Rafters. Royce Clayton Jr., a big piece of hitting there, and keeps this Rafters offense rolling. Brings up Hayden Carlson with a runner in scoring position and two outs still. Rafters back-to-back hits, and Carlson, the right-handed hitting shortstop, takes the first pitch inside, 1-0 the count. It's a righty-righty matchup with Amar Sengag on the mound for the Woodchucks. Wausau scored one run in the top of the first inning on an RBI single from Max Solis Jr., but the Rafters 2 runs here in the bottom of the first. 1-0 the count to Carlson, and that's on the inside edge for strike number 1. 1-1 the count, and Carlson, I was talking to him pregame, and he seemed amped up, ready to go for this one. We'll see if he can show it off on the diamond, though. trying to keep the inning rolling. Running on second is Royce Clayton Jr. He'll stay there, but the pitch right across the heart of the plate for strike number two to Carlson. 1-2, and Carlson batting sixth in the order for the Rafters. Trying to make something happen, and Jeremy Jones, you look back to the top of the first inning there, and able to work out of a bases-loaded jam. That is looking huge on the scoreboard right now. 1-2 the count. Misses low and away for ball number two. Now 2-2 to Carlson. Eric Harper is on deck if it gets there, but Carlson's got to keep the inning alive. And well, he's been great showing off the plate vision as of late, reaching base more so than doing damage, although he did hit a home run earlier in the season, and this one misses well away for ball number three. It's now a full count to Carlson. And the pitch count for Amar Tsengeg is starting to rise as he's up to 23 pitches in the first inning. The Rafters hoping to keep this inning going as long as possible. 3-2 count with two away and a runner on second. Pitch from Tsengeg is fouled off by Carlson, and well, he'll be seeing pitch number seven of the plate appearance coming up next. And Carlson from Saddleback. You look at the Saddleback guys, three of the top six hitters in the Rafters order are all from Saddleback. Carlson did recently commit to Seattle University, however. Joined by Jake Beauchesne there. 3-2 the count. This one's a flare out towards right field. Running up on it. It'll be a tough play. Did he make the catch? Oh, man. What a play in right field by Noah Malone. And he steals an RBI from Hayden Carlson. So the Rafters do pick up the two runs on two hits. There were no errors, and the Rafters left one on base. But a good first inning as we head to the top of the second. It's 2-1 Rafters here on the WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Well, a happy birthday to Junior Barajas was just given here as he gets back to work behind the dish for the Rafters, and Jeremy Jones on the mound for Wisconsin Rapids, looking to carry over from his finish of the first inning. Left him loaded there and trying to continue to record strikes here. He'll be facing Jake Berkland to lead off the top of the second. It's 2-1 Wisconsin Rapids over the Wausau Woodchucks at the moment. The Rafters scored two in the bottom of the first, an RBI double from Kareem Arusovic and an RBI single from Royce Clayton Jr. First pitch of the second misses low to Berkland for ball number one. And Berkland, the leadoff man in the second inning for Wausau. It's a righty-righty matchup with Jones on the mound. 1-0 the count, and the pitch hits the lower outside edge for strike number one. Now 1-1 the count. Berkland, the shortstop for the Woodchucks. He'll be followed by Christian Smith-Johnson and Noah Malone due up in the second. Sends one foul down the third base line on the ground, and a 1-2 count now to Berkland. Birkeland struggling a little bit this year for the Woodchucks. Batting .262 over 19 appearances for Wausau. And the 1-2 count on the way misses a bit high to bring it 2-2. And Birkeland, he's slowly gotten better throughout the season, it feels like. Feels like he's kind of picked up the bat, at least offensively, as he fouls this one away. But, of course, plays shortstop, one of the more important defensive positions and tougher ones to play. Stays alive there. And the Rafters have Hayden Carlson as their almost everyday shortstop. But Birkeland, last year, a playoff hero for Wausau, as they really looked good there. And the home plate umpire going to wipe off home plate to make sure that pitches can be seen, I guess. And now it looks like we're ready to go. And still a 2-2 count to Birkeland. 6.24 OPS on the season, not where he wants it to be.